Taking a break is when you're trying
not to do work.
Procrastinating is when you're trying
not to do work.
I don't know if that helps. So my understanding. Scotch.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 250 of Coffee with Butterscotch.
Ooh, and it's that?
Good. Yeah.
What a day.
The game dev comedy podcast, Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam, and I am still here and alive.
I'm Sam, and I'm frazzled.
And this is a show where we talk about life, business, and working in the games industry. Today is Friday, the 13th of March.
2020.
20 Blundy. Before we get started, we have a warning.
There's actually a national emergency right
now. There's a national state of emergency right now, and there's a virus killing everyone.
Yeah.
So there's going to be profanity in this podcast.
It is kind of funny, though, that the fact that there is profanity in this podcast freaks some people out more than the fact that there's a national emergency.
Mm-hmm. For now.
For now, that's true.
That's right.
Just wait. Once the toilet paper has been gone for 6 weeks,
you'd be weeping.
That's when, as they say, shit gets real.
Hey, that's good.
We'd also like to thank our recurring supporters over at moneygram.bscotch.net. Thank y'all very much for donating to the podcast. It's helpful. Let's talk about life.
All of the things.
Now, what about it? What about it?
Yeah, today is end of day Friday.
It's the end of days Friday.
It's also the end of days Friday. It feels like 10 years of things have happened. Really, frankly, in the past day alone.
Yep.
But in particular,
I have certainly aged 10 years in the past week.
Yeah.
Okay.
We came into the office this morning. So I drove in. I parked in the parking lot like 10 minutes ahead of time. Usually at that point, it's a struggle to find a spot. There were like maybe half the cars here. Sampa had come in right at the same time. So we like walk in together. We're just remarking about how there's just like nobody here. And we come in and normally when you come in, like there's a concierge thing in the shared office space that we're in and there was nobody there. Like the gate was down and we're like, the fuck?
It's all locked up.
There's nobody. We saw basically nobody coming in. There was just like one person in the shared workspace.
And a tumbleweed rolled by and coughed.
Yeah, exactly. We went to go get some coffee and usually there's like a line, like you're waiting and it's just really annoying. And this time there was like one person in there kind of standing silently, kind of looking off in the distance. Forlornly,
slowly turned their head and looked at you.
Yeah, with suspicion.
And clutched their mug to their chest and went.
So that was the introduction to the day. Uh-huh. And then I believe it was 5 minutes before we sat down to record the podcast, Sam was like, hey. It's a national state of emergency.
I think that was Seth.
Or somebody did.
Yeah.
I declared other emergency states for other things.
That's true.
A national state of emergency was just declared here in the United States, which is far too late.
Yeah.
Because, virus – okay. So people keep being like, what's the big deal? There's only like 1,000 cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's exponential growth. And people can spread this shit asymptomatically.
And we're not testing it.
Yeah. And we're not testing it, so we don't even know how many cases there are.
So given this tiny number of test kits, because this is the bigger thing about, right? We've got what, like 5 test kits?
Boogeyman, man.
Like that.
If
we've got like 5 test kits and we're like there are only 5 cases. Well, it's like, so that means we got 100% of the people we test. That means everybody has COVID-19.
That's what that means.
That's what that means.
Yep. If you don't think you got it, you got it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I probably got it. We all got it. I bet we got it.
Yeah. Carrying it all around.
I bet.
I'm carrying it in a carrying case. I got a carrying case for my COVID-19, so I'm going to be carrying it.
And this is also – there's been a lot of weird attitude for people about this because people are like, come on. Like, it's like a flu. Okay. Flu sucks.
And kills people.
Flu kills people. I don't want the flu. Do you want the flu?
No.
Nobody wants the flu, right?
That's why we take our flu shots.
Yeah.
Yep. Or at least should be taking our
flu shots. Except this is worse than the flu because, hey, there's no flu shot. Yep. Also, there's a good chance that you end up in an intensive care unit because you get pneumonia, you can't fucking breathe.
Mm-hmm. And because it's happening to so many people at once, it's a good chance you can't find a bed in that same place. So now you just die on the street.
And you just die on the street.
And also, if you're American, that probably would have happened anyway.
That was going to happen anyway.
And then also, you're bankrupt if you're American.
Right.
Yeah. So you're lucky enough to not die on the street, then now you go live on the street.
You're down the street, and then a bank man or whatever is going to come staple your bill to your chest, body.
Yep.
And then charge you for that staple.
Right.
Yeah.
You can get interest on that staple.
Yep.
Okay. So.
Well, you don't get interest.
So this is bad enough. But then also, you know, if you're very nonchalant about this and you're not like doing everything possible to try to keep from spreading this fucking thing, mm-hmm. then of course everybody else around you gets it too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And even if you're in the demographics where you're generally going to be okay, so like basically under the age of 50.
The problem is you still get it and you still spread it.
You still get it, you still kill people. So we've been doing as much as we can. We're all taking our stuff home for the weekend because we're like, we may end up just working from home. Fortunately, we have enough space in our office and like we don't.
Yeah, we're not nearly crammed in at all. So yeah, we're good.
There's nobody else in the entire office complex. So
many of the other people are working from home. Like we can actually come in and only interact with each other. And
that's actually true.
So anyways, people do need to be taking this seriously because what is it? The growth rate is like 2.5 people every – or 2.5x every 5 days or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so what seems like a not very big deal very quickly becomes way too big of a deal. And then it literally keeps doubling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like it just keeps going.
And the main goal of all this is just – is not – because it's kind of the idea here is that basically everyone's going to get it at some point. Is kind of what's going
to
happen.
We're trying to slow it down.
The goal is to slow it down so we don't overwhelm the healthcare system.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if we all get it at once, then as Adam very succinctly put it, we're all going to die in the street, which really sucks. Not how I want it to go, personally.
I'd prefer to go in a hospital.
Yeah.
That's where I want to
have
my end of days.
Or at least you feel taken care of, you know.
And also, so, I mean, since the last podcast, like, Italy is closed. Like, the whole – country is closed.
Yeah.
The NBA canceled.
The NBA NHL
canceled. MLB canceled.
Every sports is canceled.
Tom Hanks has COVID-19.
Hanks has it. Trudeau's wife has it.
That means he's got it too, probably.
He's got it too. I mean, obviously he's got it. there was that one dude on the NBA who was like, ha ha, derp, 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 COVID-19. And then he like slapped all the microphones and stuff. And then the next day he tested positive. There's all these people going on TV being like, all right, listen up, don't touch your face. And then they like lick their whole face. And
it
like,
turns out it's just a thing we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not touching your face is like the hardest thing to
do. So the fact is like you're good.
I literally just did it now after doing it.
After Sam said,
I've been doing it the whole time. I just did it again.
Yeah. So, the fact is like all the things that they tell you to not do are things that you are doing right now.
Yeah, and as you will be to this podcast.
And you will be continuously doing forever because you're a human.
If you cover your mouth laughing at some point during this podcast, I'm sorry. You have touched your face.
Yeah. I was listening
We'll try to be less funny, assuming that we were funny at all, I guess.
Yeah.
So
which
we'll
is
just,
a big
we'll
assumption.
Just, we'll just quit doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I was listening to a podcast this morning and they were talking about in 2009, the H1N1. Barack Obama came on. He's talking about if you're going to sneeze into your elbow.
Dab, if you will.
You're going to dab. And then a little bit later, he talked about like, don't be shaking hands. Maybe do an elbow bump. And I'm like, you just sneezed into that elbow. You can't.
Yep.
We've just moved the goalpost.
Which side of the elbow are you bumping? Because you sneeze into the inside.
Obviously, you hook elbows.
You don't actually
do nose.
You don't actually sneeze into your elbow. You sneeze into the joint before you. You know what I mean? This crease.
And you're not sneezing into the joint.
Yeah, but listen,
if you do that, then you're just blowing it everywhere. You're actually sneezing down.
Because this cannot count as an elbow. Because if you elbow drop someone, you don't hit them with the void.
Why sneeze into your elbow? Because your elbow is not a HEPA filter. You know?
Yeah, like, that's true.
And in fact, it's a solid surface that your sneeze will just bounce right off of.
Your sneeze will encase it. Have you ever seen a paintball get shot indoors? There's paint in every crevasse of the entire building for years, right?
Yeah,
you sneeze anywhere at all, and your whole body is covered.
I was laughing because of the building we're in is run by the CIC, which is the Cambridge Innovation Center. And based in Boston. And they've been really good about sending notes about what they're doing and stuff. But they had a description today in there. I don't know if you guys read this in their email, which was talking about sneezing. And to me, it read almost like a monster manual, where they were like, be careful sneezing because it comes out more than 100 miles an hour. It reminded me like a Pokedex entry where you're like, that can't be real.
Yeah.
Like it's, someone took this way
too far. Human sneeze has so much power.
I wonder if the whole sneezing into the elbow thing, because this sounds to me kind of like the whole duck and cover, you know, where it's like if a nuclear bomb goes off, go under your desk.
Right. Just get under there.
Which obviously does not protect you from a nuclear blast.
It's better than not being under a desk.
Is it? Like, yeah, if it can't see, it can't get you.
I mean, it can't see anything because it's a bomb. But, you know, you just duck and cover.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if sneezing into an elbow is just a duck and cover.
I think, yeah, people are looking for
– I'm touching my face right now.
People are freaking out. People are looking for things to cling to.
The important thing is wash your damn hands. Don't touch your face as much as you can help it. And then
which is not at all.
Don't go to places where there are a lot of people. Yep. Just those are the things.
Yeah.
You don't need to freak out a lot.
Quit hoarding toilet paper.
Yeah. You only need enough to last for 3 or 4 years. Once you got more than that, it's just excessive.
Order a bidet while Amazon is still slinging packages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that's all, you know.
It's fascinating. It's horrible.
This is all happening.
Mm-hmm. Plague watch.
And again, we're all going to get it. It's out there now. It's just like a cold or a flu. It's just another disease that's floating around now that we got to deal with. So just try to slow it down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is all happening at the same time.
At the same time.
We have been working our butts off trying to get prepared for what is happening next week.
Which is the Levelhead launch date announcement.
And by next week, I mean you listening to this right now.
And it has happened.
And yesterday, in fact.
Yesterday from the time this podcast
was
on. It has happened. So, yeah, we've been working our butts off to both get the game through all certification processes, which, by the way, we did.
We got through Xbox Cert today.
So we could,
today, that happened.
Things are deployable. We can deploy things. It's not the thing we want 100% yet, but we could.
It's not the 1.0, but, you know, it's
close. And so we've been working on all this stuff, talking to all the platforms, trying to get people to talk about the fact that this is going to happen on Tuesday. And, you know, this is all this news coming in, with the virus and then us trying to manage all this.
Did we actually say what we're doing on Tuesday?
We're just announcing the release date.
Okay.
Which is April 30th.
Which is April 30th.
There you go.
Thursday. April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're going to be going live on a lot of platforms all at the same time. I don't have a list.
Okay.
I actually need a list.
The plan was six, and then as of about 10 minutes before this podcast episode,
we got a seventh.
There may be a seventh that we now have to scramble to make sure that we can pull off.
All right. So we are launching on
the
App Store, which is iTunes, mm-hmm. depending on who you talk to. If you talk to
Apple.
Don't
say the newest one, though.
You sent an email to ask if we could. Did you get an email back?
Sam's going to check NDA checking in real time. All right. So App Store.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Google Play.
Yes.
Now, there's another one that we have not actually announced with relation to Google.
Yes.
Google Play Pass.
Right.
We're going to be in there.
So that was the news that we mentioned like 1,000 years ago that we wanted to talk about but couldn't because it was under NDA.
Okay. So Google Play Pass is Google's subscription service that they've been sort of like rolling out over time. And we are now going to be one of the big boys of Google Play Pass.
We're going to be part of a thing that they're doing, which they haven't announced. So maybe we can't talk about that part.
But
either way,
the most important thing is that's yet another subscription service that Levelhead is in. And we're going to get a substantial amount of launch support on that, which is going to be fantastic.
So if you got Xbox Game Pass and Google Play Pass, then
you've already got Levelhead.
You got Levelhead.
Okay, so that's App Store, Google Play Pass. We're gonna be on Xbox for purchase. Also, Xbox Game Pass.
Yep. Also, the Microsoft Store.
Also, the Microsoft Store for Windows,
but under Xbox
Google and Game under Pass. Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah. So you can buy it in the store. Just regularly, which I believe also gives it to you on Xbox.
Yes.
So it's like the same
thing. Yeah. It's a universal app. So if you buy it on the Windows store, you've got it on Xbox. If you've got Xbox Game Pass, then you've got it on all of that shit. So like it's just everywhere. Okay. So that's that one. It'll also be on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's also going to be
on Steam currently and will continue.
And it will fully launch on Steam.
And since I just got approval in this email literally just now, it also will be coming to the Epic Games.
We're also coming to the Epic Games.
So literally just happened.
So we're doing. So
that is fucking wild.
We're launching this game so fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's going to hit escape velocity and crash into the sun.
And there's some other stuff happening that is not even about level head that's happening actually at the same time.
We still can't talk about.
We still can't talk about, but it's going to be. So we're very excited.
I'm just going to be screaming.
Slowly melting.
Yeah, I'm just going to be screaming.
We have so
the sheer number of things that have to get
done. I want to talk about what this, like, at least give a vague picture of what this looks like on the back end.
Yeah, because we've got our early access community who all they know right now is that
they're not getting
any new content.
They haven't gotten quite as many updates as they would like.
And all we've told them is like, oh, we got to get ready for launch. But like, now they know when that is. It's April 30th. So now you know how long we've got.
But the question of why? Do you have to get ready for launch? What does it take?
What does that mean?
What's going on? So as we talked about in the past, when it comes to, say, like a console, you've got your cert requirements, and it varies by console. And it could be anything from like, how does this talk to our live services? How does it work with achievements? How does it work with writing data to the disk? Does it work properly with all the different controller configurations we have on our platform?
So taking Switch, for example, because you can touch it. You can stick controllers to the side of it.
You can lasso it and ride it around.
rip a controller off and throw it to your buddy who can try to use it upside down.
So, of course, they're going to have a checklist of like making sure that your game respects the lasso. Yep. So you got to go through all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you'll send it in, and then they'll basically just give you thumbs up, thumbs down. Like, did you do it good, right?
And important to note, they're not asking if your game is good. They're just asking,
did you meet these
very specific technical requirements.
Yeah. So then on top of that, we have this extra layer, which is, of course, we have a user-generated content game with a login system.
Yep.
And every platform handles user accounts differently.
Yep.
Completely differently.
Completely differently.
Such that we actually have a completely unique login flow for every platform. Mm-hmm. So we have six different login flows.
They're overlapping and related, but not the same.
They're not the same, and they share some parts, but not all parts. And we got to test all scenarios.
And we also have different licensing on every platform.
Different licensing models.
Yep.
Those are like ownership verification, right?
Yep.
So we have to do that. And then on top of that, we have to make sure that the UI and the UX work properly.
Yep. On every form factor.
And we also have localization work to do. So we have to – there's basically two phases that we think of this. One is what we internally just call technical cert, which is like make sure the game is functioning according to all of the specs, right? Is it optimized well enough? Does it use the controls? Does the login work, licensing, all that stuff? And once we pass that hurdle, then we try to view it as a localization cert, which is now we're going to only submit versions of the game to these platforms that are completely localized and fully ready to be consumed by whoever gets them.
And localized in 11 languages.
11 languages. And we're actually probably adding a 12.
Oh, yeah.
We did that yesterday.
Yeah, because we're going to add traditional Chinese. Because we have simplified Chinese, but we're going to add traditional Chinese. Currently, our translator, who we hire through a third party, is very busy with a jillion other translations. And
possibly a global pandemic.
And definitely a global pandemic.
So that's just like getting the game going. Aside from that, every single platform has their own back end for how things are handled. So we had to update our tooling to be able to deploy builds to all these things. And now we have to be able to test them too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a whole process. How do we get our internal QA being able to test all these different platforms simultaneously? And you got to get a store page up. You got to get screenshots.
And usually, actually,
you gotta get
if you're on any of these platforms, you have to get your store page certified, which means
they need to approve your store page.
Yeah. Right? And that
can either be decoupled or coupled to your game certification,
depending on the store.
Yeah. So Sampada has had to upload, I think, 880 screenshots.
Yes.
To these different stores.
Because none of them, remarkably,
have APIs. Some people have developed.
I think Google does have an API, but we'd have to then now go figure out how to
do it. We had to go develop some tool to do that as well, and we just didn't have the time.
But most of them do not have APIs.
So because, of course, you need your 5 to 10 screenshots depending on platform, mm-hmm. and every screenshot needs to be localized.
Yep.
And also
– Text is localized. We should upload all of that too.
Right. And we also need a completely translated description for every store page for every language.
Also, did you know that some of the platforms actually have multiple stores? So Switch actually has Nintendo of America, Nintendo of Europe, Nintendo of Japan, Nintendo of Australia, Nintendo of probably
– Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Korea.
Nintendo of Yeah. So there's.
So guess what? We have to do the same thing all the time.
But then. And each one actually has all languages because, of course, people in any given country speak a whole bunch of languages. Mm-hmm. So even though the stores are different, the assets are almost the same, but not quite.
But not quite the same. And make sure you don't upload the wrong one.
And then the time stamps are actually done in a different time zone each place you go to for each one of the different stores.
Yep.
That's true. So make sure you don't put the date or time wrong. Yep. Make sure you don't launch in November instead of April.
Also, it turns out that some things, once you set them, cannot be unset or changed.
Yeah. Found that out.
We discovered on accident.
Because guess what? Not the documentation.
Nobody tells you these things.
Also, depending on the store you're going to, the trailer that you upload has to be in completely random different bit rates and frame rates. Yeah. So
one person's like, we only take MOVs. Another person's like, well, we only do QuickTime. And another person's like, well, we only do MP4s.
And then Apple's like, we take whatever you want, but you have to upload it through Safari.
Why? And on a Mac, right?
Yes.
Using a Mac
on Safari. Yeah.
Why? So it's basically like
– what?
This has been our lives for
Well, then on top of that, so this is just the technical part of like getting the thing, getting everything running so it can work. Yeah. We're trying to hook up pre-purchases and pre-orders and that kind of stuff. I think maybe half of stores will actually
have
available.
Some of them will be up. I don't know what's going to happen.
So we've been kind of laughing about like – because every now and then we'll kind of take a step back and be like, what the fuck are we doing?
but wait, there's more.
Yeah, because that's not – there's marketing.
Because we're still also handling the marketing for the game. Yeah. So we're also setting up for the first time YouTube ads. Never done it before.
Which means we need a trailer, which we wrote ourselves. Yep. And then we had a contract.
Josh was doing a great job. So got that done. And then he had to slice it up into like 40 different – cuts for all everybody for each of your different platforms.
Because again, every store needs a completely unique version of the trailer with completely unique arbitrary specs.
Don't you dare mention that it's on any other store.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Like, we all know it is, but don't say it.
Okay. So you do that.
So we have our own version of the trailer that has all the badges for all the stores in it, which is now missing the Epic store because that didn't happen until 10 minutes ago.
Right now.
But every other store needs its own trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to write that down. I got to send an email.
I also write down that I need to put the Epic badge on the website.
Okay. Yeah. Write that. Let's have a quick production.
Okay. I got my legal pad. I'm just going to carry this around with me fucking everywhere. So, and then. We're still finishing the game. So
fuck, I touched my face.
I can see you rubbing your fucking eyes. Stop. So Seth, so we had that tutorial we've been talking about. Seth finished it literally today.
Yeah.
I called two friends who I'm paying in burritos to come in tomorrow to play test it. Because I'm like, I need at least some brand new people to look at this thing.
Yep.
And I need to watch them. So that's probably going to be all we get. Because frankly, we don't have no fucking time. Right. So
you know what they say? If two people can play a game, everybody can play a game.
So that's going to be happening. On top of that, then, we still have a number of things to wrap up on. Adam's doing basically this massive scaling test.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what's going to happen. So there is one thing that I know, which is if we just throw enough money at the web resources, then everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So that I feel great about.
We have one out.
Yeah, we have one
modern
out.
Modern problems just, require modern solutions.
We just throw money at it, and then if it looks like it's not enough,
this one is one of those hilarious cases where – like oftentimes people will describe like throwing money at a problem.
Yeah.
This is actually
it's
just
literally
that. Which is like, so we just pay Amazon and we're like, make this problem go.
Yeah. Away. I'm just like, oh, 10 servers wasn't enough. So 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did it.
We got to make sure all that works.
Yeah.
Adam's got
we
meetings.
We can buy our way out of this problem.
Yeah. That was the one we can buy out. Yeah. Kind of.
But it is weird. Cause I've been doing experiments with scaling over the past week and discovered that, which I mean, it's not surprising that things aren't purely linear, but the question is why not? Like, what is causing the breakdown? Because it turned out I was throwing 5,000 simulated users at the server, and it was like chugging along just great. I went to 10, and it was chugging along just great for a moment, and then all of a sudden the whole thing just like started to disintegrate. Requests started taking longer and longer until they were taking a minute, an entire minute.
This is assuming we have 10,000 concurrent users, which if you've been listening to the last 10 minutes of this episode is reasonable.
Is possible.
Unfortunately, it's reasonable.
And I haven't actually done the crunching it to find out if it's
probable. If we launch on this fucking many platforms,
I don't know what's going to happen.
And do this much work, we better get 10,000 concurrent users. That's all I have to say.
We'll see
what
happens, yeah.
Oh, man.
So there's a lot going on. That's not even all of it because I can't even remember the rest of it. But
that's not even all of it.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the market. So you only mentioned ad spend, right? Which again is mostly us throwing money at a problem and somebody else too.
Right. So there's also press releases going that went out yesterday. There's also an email that goes out to like 800 people requesting with a form to make sure.
Yeah, we got
to
coordinate distributing keys.
We only have keys.
Yeah, we only have a couple keys for like Switch and stuff.
So again, when you're on seven platforms, you send out a reviewer, you send them a key for the wrong thing that they can't use it, well, that's no good.
Yeah,
man, right?
Yeah. Sure. I'd be offended.
So now I need to ask them because I'm like, I honestly don't even know anymore
what you need.
Also, because we have a trench coat, like, what do you need?
You need steam version?
I got it, baby. I got it.
Whatever you want, yeah. I got it.
So we got that happening. So
whatever you want, we got it, unless it's PlayStation at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it really is the case.
It literally,
like,
is.
Literally just not PlayStation.
It's true. Everybody except PlayStation. How does it feel, Sony?
How does it feel? We tried.
We tried.
Didn't return our calls.
We tried.
Maybe they'll call us after this. I don't know. And then we'll be like, absolutely.
They'd be like, we heard that.
Sorry, we're all booked up.
Sony's going to call us and be like, we heard you guys are... It's like, there's a big party. Everybody's been invited except for us. Is that what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. That's literally what's going on.
They will say, well, you were invited, but you were too cool for us.
Too cool for school.
Yeah.
So that's happening. It's been a good day. Been a good week.
It's certainly been a day.
It's been weird.
It's been Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Friday the 13th, 2020. A day that you're living in.
So, to recap, we're launching on literally everything.
Yep. Except for PlayStation.
On April 30th.
Yes.
Which is, I think, what, 45-ish?
Don't even count them.
Something days away. So we still got – most things are actually done or nearly done.
Yes.
So really, it's from this point forward, it's basically just we get to choose our own level of involvement of sort of how
– how good the game will be.
Yeah. We're just – I mean, it's good.
It's really good.
It's great.
We just got to shave off the rough edge.
Yeah, I did the idiot test on the
– Oh, yeah. We got to describe what an idiot test is.
Oh, sure, yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So I built a tutorial and we have to build, as we talked about last week, actually, you know, if you're a game designer and the player doesn't get something, it's because of you as the designer, right? And so one of the things that we have to do with any game system we make is run an idiot test, which is each of us will engage with the game system and try to do everything wrong.
Yeah.
If the game tells you to do something, just try to do everything but that, or even do the opposite of that thing and see if the game can handle it, right? So I built a tutorial. So Sam designed it, and then I built it all this week, and then Adam did the idiot test.
Yeah, and it's called an idiot test not because a player's doing the wrong thing makes him idiot, but because
the person
only
doing
an idiot would only do the wrong
thing. Right. Which is why, as the designer of it, it's very frustrating to watch because you're like, literally no one will do this. And Adam's like, whee! You just fly out. Yeah. So it's occasionally frustrating to watch, but it's always enlightening.
It's fun to
practice. Sam did the ultimate idiot test because I was like, I need you to test this tutorial and just go nuts. Like, just do it. And he just quit the game. And I'm like, I can't, like, that's. I mean, sure.
It's the ultimate. The ultimate. Like,
I'm not in control.
I'm playing
4D
chess over here, man.
The game's not running.
Why doesn't it boot back up?
Yeah, huh? Why doesn't it boot reboot?
Shit. Why doesn't it send me an email? Get me back in.
So, Adam, you did the idiot test.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It could.
It'd be like, hey, you didn't finish the tutorial, buddy.
Buddy.
It could absolutely.
Yeah, I just thought of something else we need to do. Fuck.
Yeah. Shouldn't
write that down on your.
Yeah, right.
So Seth was like, Seth wrapped up the tutorial, the draft, basically like a near final draft of the tutorial, and was like, all right, I need somebody to idiot test this. And I was just walking by, so I was like, I got this.
I could be an idiot.
And it really is like, you just sit down and you just. And the first thing you do is like, it tells you to do something, and then you just try all the other things that you could do. And then after that, you try to figure out what it's trying to make you do and think if you could. Just be antagonistic to that in some way.
Like if you were mad at it, what would you do?
Like if you were mad at it, what would you do? Which mostly consists of just clicking on everything except for the thing you're supposed to click on. And then if it tells you to do something, try everything else first. And then once that's the only thing left, do it in the weirdest way possible. So if it's like, put down a switch to open these doors, it's like, okay, cool. And then use the paint bucket to like pile
turn
switches.
The whole level into a switch.
Yeah. And then see what happens to the tutorial after that.
Does it know?
I was very impressed with how many idiot cases had been prevented. Because we only found a few.
All but like four, I think.
Yeah. And even the ones that we found were not.
They're not blocking.
They're like, not blocking.
You can still progress through.
Yeah. Seth and I have gotten very competent at constructing baby gates.
So, which reminds me, I have another piece of news, but I don't want to derail this. So I'm going to say it, then we can come back to it later, which is I got a kitten.
Yes.
It reminds me of this because of idiot.
Because it is an idiot. Yeah, we'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it later.
and then last bit of studio news then to talk about is GDC is happening the week that this episode is
going happening, but it's
– It is happening.
It's online.
It's happening on Twitch. So half of it's already done by the time you've heard this episode.
And
so that sucks.
And in that half are both of Seth's talks.
Yeah, both my talks got into the Twitch stream, which is great. One's on Monday, one's on Tuesday. There's a schedule posted on the GDC website. So I don't know.
Yeah, are they going to post them to watch after?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be like immediately live on YouTube, if they're going to not be immediately live.
I don't know.
But they will be live on Twitch. So I guess they already were. So hopefully you enjoyed it.
And we do still have the videos, of course. So if they, for some reason, continue to not go live,
I think once
somewhere else we can put
them. If we get like a week out from our marketing beat here, then we could throw them up on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. And so one thing I'm particularly excited about is coining a term, which is something I've never gotten to do in my life.
You gotta see if it sticks. That's always the hard part.
You gotta see if it sticks.
You can coin all the terms in the world.
But we in our studio have always taken to using the term forgiveness mechanics to refer to any kind of game system.
I just thought those were called.
I looked it up everywhere and tried to figure it out, and there doesn't seem to be a term for this. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we've always used because essentially, like, if the player makes some kind of a very slight error or mistimes something or makes a little mistake in their gameplay, then the game is like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. And it just lets you do that thing anyways, right? Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of tricks you can do, and we're doing all of them in Levelhead. And actually, like, Sam just linked me to a post by the creators of Celeste.
Yes.
And they had basically just exactly my GDC talk. And they're like, look at all these different kinds of things that we're doing to make the platforming feel good. But there was no word
for that.
Right? And so my GDC talk one of them is about forgiveness mechanics, which is basically creating this umbrella concept of all of these types of things, which actually all fall into the same general category. So, and then the other one is about DevOps, which starts off with the phrase, game development sucks. So I'm curious to see how
that goes.
That goes over. Anyway.
I think given the context and then everything that follows that it's going to go over.
People just have to muscle through that first
sentence. I think it's going to go over well.
Sometimes you got to slap people in the face.
You got to get their attention because now they want to be angry because they're like, fuck you. So then they stick around to find out what they can yell at you about.
And then they're going
to
say, he's only launched one game.
And I'm like, yeah, but I'm launching another one.
On seven platforms at once. In three form factors.
Well, that actually is part of the talk, though, which is like, because honestly, if we had continued doing things the way that we used to do them, there's no fucking way we would have been able to do all the stuff with Levelhead. So anyway, before we get to questions, we don't have any industry news because the industry's gone now.
Yeah. The industry's been canceled as well.
The industry is canceled. Mm-hmm. So – Adam?
Well, it has been interesting dealing with some of this stuff because we have business partners in Italy. And so like we had to talk to them this week about some stuff. And I was like, normally they're really responsive. They like return within 24 hours. Then it's been like 4 days. And I was like, what's going on? And then I was like, oh, fuck.
Italy's closed.
The whole country is closed. So yeah, things are fucking weird right now.
Things are pretty wild.
Well, tell us about your cat before we get on.
I got a kitten. I'm not gonna go on at length because, you know, people talking about pets can get out of hand, so I'm not going to get out of hand.
get in hand.
So I'll just tell the parts that are amusing. Mm-hmm. So we got him because our other cat is old as fuck. Now she's 12, I think. And we're like, she needs a buddy.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out, though, that 12-year-old female cats in particular don't like little upstart newcomers. So this has been a whole thing. We've been dealing with it. The details aren't that funny, so we won't go into that.
They see the writing on the wall. They're like, I'm being replaced. Yeah,
I'm not sure she's going to figure it out. It's been almost a week, but she's better. But it's the thing.
Okay.
But so the problem is, so he's this little fucking whippersnapper. He had been he's all over the place. He's made out of bones. You just can like fling him around.
You mean
like,
made out of goo.
He's like, or he's starting to relax. Any but he's an octopus, right? If his head can fit somewhere, the rest of him somehow can go through that.
Like
thing.
An octopus beak.
Yeah. So it is very fun having. He's like a 6 month old kitten. So it's very fun having that kind of energy in the house, but also very complicated to deal with. But so he'd been neutered. A few days basically before we got him. So it's like yesterday he was at day 10 of having been neutered. And the morning we got up and we're keeping him in the bathroom to keep the cats away from each other. And we came in, there was blood on the floor.
Ugh.
We're like, God damn it. Was it a claw? Did he open his wound? What was it? And then we looked at his suture wound on his empty little ball sack. And it was just like red and like wet looking, you know? And I was like, okay.
He opened it up.
That's not good.
So I sent a note to the team and I was like, I'm going to work from home today so I can deal with like vet stuff and whatever is going to happen here. So we take him to the vet and they're like, oh, yeah, this is infected. So we're going to give him antibiotics and a cone. So then he comes home with a little fucking cone. And again, he's like, he's this tiny, just skin and bone kitten.
It's
not a big cone, but of course, So kittens are very robust, at least this one is. And so he just didn't give a fuck that this cone was on him. And so he's still running at a dead sprint. And then like mm-hmm. every time he does anything, he's bumping into stuff and like yanking his head around because you know, it's getting stuck on things. And so it didn't look like this was going to work out very well. But we're like, we can do this. We can put up with this. But like, he has to do this for 10 days, which is insane.
Seems a long time.
But either way, we're like, we'll figure it out. We'll make this work. And then we have the litter box to deal with.
A cone and litter box. Yeah.
So we have a dome one that they have to walk into, you know,
so he can't get
in
donk. There.
Yeah. He can't get in. Like it's still small enough that he could, but he can't figure out where his head is. So he can't. So he can't get in there. So we have to take the lid off, which is now a problem. Cause he's like throwing litter everywhere. Right. But then also since he can't look down and he just can't figure out what the fuck to do. So he's like, he's thrown litter everywhere. And he's like, he just, instead of just coming in and like digging a little and shitting like they normally do, because he's so freaked out and can't figure out what to do, he's in there for like 5 minutes just like throwing litter around. Finally figures out, takes a shit. So we're like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. And then he tries to bury it. But again, he can't tell what the fuck he's doing. Mm-hmm. So now he's just like stepping in it repeatedly. And then, and then just like ends up sticking the cone into it. Because again, he can't tell what's happening. So I was downstairs while this was all happening.
This is like an idiot test.
It's an idiot test. So this is all happening. And I came upstairs and after this had just like finished happening. And my wife was in there like, we can't do this. I'm not going to put up with this. And I was like, yeah, this is fair. This is the main reason I have dogs. Is I don't want to deal with poop. And now we have a cat with poop on his fucking
face
and everything. So he no longer has a cone, I guess is long story short. It is very fun to have this little fucking energetic just terror in the house.
Yeah, once you get past all the medical issues of having a young
animal. And in this case, dealing with like getting the cats to get along, because that's the part that has made it actually like not fun.
You got to manage a lot.
I got to wonder about
this. It's just been like every moment, every waking moment, like, and Jenny's working from home. So for her, it's like literally every waking moment. And for me, just when I'm not at the office, it's every waking moment. It's just like watching these two cats and like making sure they don't try to murder each other, you know?
Yeah, so it's a lot. It's a full-time job. Yeah, when we got our dog, she was 6 months old and I had to just watch the whole time.
She is like this kitten is basically what Coco is, in terms of like just sheer energy level, you know.
It's just
she was a lot bigger when she was 6 months old.
That's right. It's a lot to deal with. And I've never seen a scenario where an animal gets a cone on them and then it's just worked out.
Yeah, and it's just fine.
I feel like the technology needs to move in a new direction.
Yeah.
You know? we need this animal to not lick themselves. Let's just put this thing on them that basically either paralyzes them and turns them into a statue or turns them into essentially a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Probably not.
No.
All right.
Madness.
Let's get on to questions. These questions come from our listeners over at podcast.beastcash.net. Our highest upvoted question comes from Beaky Bapa Boop, who says, how can you tell the difference between taking a break and procrastinating?
I think it's about how you feel afterward.
There also there is no difference, but does it matter?
I think it's a question of intent. If you say, I'm about to take a break for 15 minutes and then go back to doing my shit.
That's what I think.
But if you just suddenly find yourself not doing shit.
that's progressive.
It's a break is something. A break is when you're trying not to do work. Procrastinating is when you're trying to not do work. You know what I mean? Taking a break is when you're trying
not to do work.
Procrastinating is when you're trying
not to do work.
So I don't know if that helps.
So it's where the
okay.
Does
so
that help? Okay, that helps.
So you're saying the effort here when you are taking a break.
Yeah.
Is in the
you're trying to stop doing work.
It's in the break.
It's in you've been doing work.
And you're like, oh, I gotta quit doing this.
I need a break.
I've been doing too much work.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of procrastination. Because procrastination you're trying to not work.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, you're doing, I don't want
to
do
you're
this.
You're going to great lengths.
Or trying not to do work. Yeah.
You're working so hard to not do any work
with
procrastination.
The effort is spent on the doing of not work versus the not doing of work. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. It's a complicated way to put it. I think I'm picking it up.
Now. I think I'm with you on that. I do think though that there's definitely an accidental nature to procrastination.
Yeah.
Which is, and usually it's really, it'd be really weird if you worked on something for like 4 hours and then started procrastinating. You know what I mean? Like,
does that count as procrastination at that point?
Like, yeah, I feel like that's taking
that's
a break.
Probably a break. Because right? Like procrastination is like you're putting off just generally doing this.
Yeah, I think
if you haven't started doing the work yet, you're procrastinating.
If you have, you're taking a break. You're taking a break.
Yeah. Way to put it. There you go.
Yeah. If you've already put in 20 hours, you put in 20 hours. You're good now. Mm-hmm. Everything you do from this point forward is a break. Everything.
Yeah.
Every time you're not working on it, you're just taking a break. All right. Next question comes from Smelly Platypus, who says, I have been loving your podcasts and pretty much all the content that you have put out.
Well, thanks.
But being in high school still, I haven't been able to apply many of your tips and ideals when it comes to behavior and business. Because I'm not running or working in a business.
That's also fair.
First question is, why not?
And I don't have enough control over my life and schedule to make many changes to it.
It's a good reason.
Do you guys have any tips for someone looking to optimize their early life in order to make a good transition into work and business? You got to think about the rest of it. So don't be thinking about those parts that you don't have control over because, you know,
you
don't have control over. You got to figure out what are you going to do with the rest of the time?
Yeah.
And I think personally, the things that benefited me the most were things that developed a broad skill set. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's like going into sports, which is fantastic for just like developing a sense of getting shit done and working hard and being part of a team.
Also a sense of where your body is in space.
Yes. Proprioception. Very
proprioception
good.
Is a proprio- one of the least –
Prepare. Also, a really important note, this is the only time in your life that you will get instruction on how to get exercise for free.
Yes.
This is the only time this is ever
going to
happen.
Take advantage of that.
Otherwise, you got to pay some weirdo like $300 a month.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually important.
Slap you on the glutes.
Because like, my wife didn't do like track and she did swimming in high school. And so she actually doesn't know, like she will tell you, she doesn't know how to, like, what the proper form is for running, which I just take for granted because I did track for most of my middle school and high school life.
What do you mean proper form?
Exactly. And that's exactly it. Because running, I still don't, I actually enjoy it now that I've gotten into enough cardiovascular shape to enjoy it again. But it's one of those things, if you don't run correctly, then it's way harder than it needs to be. And you don't get that feeling, like, because one of my favorite feelings in the world is being at a dead sprint.
Oh, it's the greatest.
It's like, because if you do it right, you're basically like your toes are just barely touching, and your head is not bobbing. You're just a fucking missile, mm-hmm. right? And it feels so like it's how kittens and puppies feel when they're just like at a dead sprint. When they got the zoomies.
You get a human zoomie.
Yeah, and like when you're in a dead sprint, you can see exactly what like those little idiot animals are up to and why they love that
it's
so
just
much.
Fun.
This but if you don't know the feeling, form, you can't also, even do it.
It's also the feeling of swimming very fast.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're just gliding.
Yeah. Like a fucking boat. Well, that's it too, because we did swimming in high school. Like I know, even though I was terrible at it from a
competitive
standpoint, the form now is something I can just get to have. Like now, if I want to go swim, I can just get in the water and I know how to move so that it's.
Well, the fact is, though, I mean, your 50 meter sprint was still sub 30.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is. Pretty hard to achieve.
Is
actually.
It? I have no idea.
Technique wise.
I have no reference.
It's a technique problem.
Yeah, exactly. It's a technique problem. Yeah. So you learn all this stuff I would say try to identify the things that this is your only opportunity to do, which is.
Yeah.
Like things for free is like the really big one.
Yeah. You just got to take advantage of it. Art club. Do it.
Yeah.
Student government. Fucking do it.
Yeah.
Cross country. I don't know. Do it. Whatever.
Just do all the things.
Do everything you possibly can. And then do stuff that isn't even offered. So, like, we made movies in high school, and, like, Adam built a trebuchet, and
just we did doing weird stuff.
Yeah. And if you can, get a head start on programming. Just, like, just try. Just do your best.
Because here's the thing. Like, I know school is stressful.
Yeah.
But it's also literally the easiest time of your life.
Yeah.
You don't know it yet because you haven't had the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But you will look back and be like, fuck, I wish I could just have somebody just hand me like a single page worksheet and that's the only thing I have to do today. You know?
Yeah, you exit the schooling system into an environment where you can never tell if you're doing the correct thing or not.
Yeah, because it turns out there's actually no way to know it. It was all a lie.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like when you're in school, you've got other people essentially shielding you from all of the bullshit that you're going to have to develop systems for later.
Yeah.
Like if you're in high school, you're probably not dealing with banks a lot. You're probably not dealing with taxes very much, or mortgages, or like you may open up the news and they'll be like, the stock market just collapsed today, and you're like, what does that mean? Meanwhile, other people are essentially shitting their pants because of what that means for them, and now all the things that they're going to have to now rearrange and do in their life to deal with the fact that some random shit happened that they have no control over, right? And so you're in this cocoon where you get to be insulated from having to deal with lots of things.
And of course, just how insulated you are depends enormously on your family dynamic.
It depends a lot on a lot of things. But
you were still – if you get bullied and shit, it's like the fucking worst.
That is terrible.
Yeah. There are some pieces that I think are definitely way worse.
100%. Like
the social dynamics of high school are garbage. Garbage, yeah. Yeah. But when it comes – like once you're out –
actually, that's one thing. If you're bullying people, fucking quit doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you would, but whoever the person who wrote this.
But if you are
– smelly platypus.
Just keep touching your face, buddy. You'll get yours.
Yeah. So anyways, point being, there's a lot of shit that you probably – don't have to deal with as a youngster, which frees up your mental space and energy to be able to sort of just go nuts and consume all these different ideas.
A wide variety of things. You know?
So do those things and it'll become useful.
Yeah.
Later on, when you look back, you'll be like, man, I'm glad I learned how to edit videos or I learned how to sing or play an instrument or do a sport good.
Yeah,
because that paid off a shitload.
Also, try to start developing good habits around
touching your face.
Touching your face. But eating and actually using your body. Because
eating and sleeping.
Eating and sleeping, but in particular eating. Because your metabolism is going to start just falling off. And like all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh my God, I got fat. It's just going to happen all of a sudden. Because you're going to keep eating the same amount that you always did. But what nobody tells you. So like if you have pets, if you have like an old pet, like I'm just comparing our kitten to our cat now. Mm. Our kitten eats four times as much food as our cat. He weighs less than half as much and eats four times as much, right? And he's fucking skinny and our adult cat is fat.
Right. He's probably underfed.
Yeah.
She's
overfed. Yeah. So like, and we see like this happen in pets and stuff. And this is of course why pets also get obese. But like we see this happen. We're just like, oh yeah, like your metabolism goes down when you get old, but for some reason we just keep on behaving the same way.
It's hard. It's hard to figure out.
But I think part of it is that there's nothing explicit about it. No one ever just says like, yeah, over time, like year over year, eat a little less.
Yeah, I think if I could give like two pro tips for high school folks, it would be basically the two things that no one teaches you, but they're involved in literally everything, which is one is learn how to have relationships with people.
Yeah.
So that book, Thanks for the Feedback, that we recommend, like that's frankly just good. Like read that. The other one is learn how to basically read and take notes. If you think you know how to study, you don't.
How do you learn it?
You don't even know how to study. If you're doing things by rote memorization, you're wrong. I'm sorry. This is the dumbest thing you could do. You need to actually know how to study. You just have to know. And no one actually teaches
how to study if you don't know how to learn.
The thing is, they're all just techniques, right? And so like there's a bunch of – you can watch some YouTube videos about it and probably in like 15 minutes figure out a better way to study.
That's one thing that you have so much time. We did not have.
YouTube?
Yes.
Which you can learn both good and bad.
Yeah, good and bad.
Oh, yeah, you can also learn things that are not true.
I sometimes wonder if YouTube was around when we were in high school, because it becomes very obvious – just how bad you are at things when you see how good other people are at them.
Yes.
And we had no clue about most things. Like we were just doing stuff, especially I think with things like making movies, you know.
Well, it was
our
so
movies
cool.
are pretty good.
It was so cool though because those were the
– I mean like those were pretty good.
Those were the only movies produced by the student body in like a 10-year window or something, right?
Yeah.
So I mean that's
one guy,
the measurement, right?
The year before us who made some movies. Right. But yeah. Yeah.
And so then – but after you guys, I think it was like no one. I don't remember. Like
no, I think there were a few people who kind of carried on the tradition.
But it's not a lot. It's not like today where everyone's on TikTok.
Yeah. You know? That's my point though.
Movies.
Yeah, all I'm trying to say is essentially that like when you're one of four people who over the span of 4 years has made a movie in your
school, and when you're doing it using cassette where you would only have one tape and you have to – you have to time everything so that you like re-record over things that you fucked up because there's an hour.
Otherwise,
on
you just
it.
Run out of tape.
You just run out of tape, and you have to buy the tape with your own money.
When we describe this, I feel like
I feel old. You feel
remember
it?
Fucking editing that stuff? Like editing it was like literally
you would rewind,
rewind, and like,
and then you just record.
And we had and of course it was like videos have always been huge.
Yeah,
and I had I think I had an 80 gigabyte hard drive, which was fucking huge for
the time,
for the that day. Like I went out of my way to save up and get this 80 gigabyte hard drive, you know. But yeah, that thing, you know, it could only hold like 30 minutes of film. I do remember like
we had 320p or whatever.
Well, I remember we had to record video and then we had to store like chunks of scenes on external hard drives and then like edit pieces of it at a time and then edit the whole thing together.
What did we even use to edit it?
Because I remember we just found some free software.
It was the movie because we used to use it for editing our trailers in the studio. What was that called?
Was it the same thing?
It was the same. It was like the 11th version as opposed to the third version.
You Lead Video Studio? Was that it? Something. It was just some like
CyberLink was the one we used to use for all our trailers.
But even before that, because before we actually had access to
Power Director?
Yes.
Maybe.
Because this is when we had the digital stuff, though. Because before that, we would literally do editing using re-recording on the camera.
Yeah.
Where we would just like rewind and try to get to the right spot.
That was in our middle school days.
That was in middle school.
Just re-record over stuff.
And that's your.
And then every now, like, if you rewatch it, every now and then you just get like random snippets of other scenes or just
usually
films
choir concerts.
Choir concerts that we recorded over. So come in and be like, where's the video of that?
Did they ever ask for a replay? I mean, let's be real.
Nobody that records those wants to see them afterwards.
Mm-hmm. No, what? Here's how the nostalgia works, though. It's like you'll hoard those things over time, and then at some point, 30 years later, you'll be like getting rid of old shit in a cupboard somewhere, and then you'd be like, oh, what's this? What's this card from my old buddy Steve from when I was 10? Like, I remember this. And then you'll be like, oh, what's this? And then you open up and there's like more shit. And then 6 hours later, you've gone through the
whole
thing.
It's basically you're burying treasure for yourself in 30 years.
It's a time capsule.
It's a time capsule.
Yeah.
It's actually true because when I go in the basement, if I have to – there's like the bin, which our mom used to collect all of our stuff in a bin.
You get trapped in a time warp.
Well, so yeah, every so often there's some stuff on top of it. And it has been the case actually sometimes when I've gone down and had to move whatever was on top of it, then I'm like, huh. And I look in there, pull something out and do exactly that. Yep. Where I'm like,
then move on. Then you'd be like, wait a minute, what about that? And then you go dig through the pile.
Yeah, I've just forgotten so much that now when I go back through that, I have like the memory of the memory of it. But
I remember this.
Yeah, exactly. But that's all that left. And so like, so when I go through that stuff, I'm just like, well, I guess this happened because there's evidence and I remember remembering that it happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but so your memory bank is like an evidence locker.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, this probably happened.
Yeah.
According to the facts.
According to the facts.
We actually opened up a time capsule recently.
We did.
We made a
– Oh, yeah.
I don't think we mentioned this on the
podcast. It was in 2000. We made a time capsule.
In the year 2000, we made a time capsule, which was supposed to be open in 2020.
Because 2020 felt like it was going to be the fucking future, you know?
Yeah. We some of the stuff we put in there is like, put some money in there because we're like, what if people don't use money anymore?
Yeah.
Which they don't really.
To be fair,
we put some coins and dollar bills in there because we're like, what if it's all like electronic or something? Mm-hmm. And then we put some Pokemon cards in there.
There was also a printed list of endangered animals.
Yeah.
It was like
– and they're all dead now.
We didn't look them up because there was like – it was literally like six –
it was very long.
10 – I don't know. It was a lot of pages of endangered animals. I assume they're all
We put in a couple of magazines like Popular Science Magazine and stuff of like –
there was a time I think.
Yeah, because a lot of the magazines at the time were like, it's the year 2000. Like we're in the future now. Where are things going to go next? And so there was this like big spike in publications sort of trying to predict.
Yeah, it's always happens. Yeah.
We also put some newspaper clippings in there of like movie lists and stuff.
Mm.
I got to say – end of 1999,
really
there were
good movies.
Really good movies.
I don't remember what.
Like I looked at the list and I was like, there was like 16 really good, iconic, very memorable movies.
Everyone was trying to get them out before the Y2K apocalypse.
Yeah, all in theaters at the same time, which was very crazy.
Yeah, my feeling actually going through that time capsule was basically that I was trying to figure out why we put all that stuff in. Because I was going through it, and none of it was the kind of stuff that like I just expected to be in there. Like, I don't know what I expected. We did have like pictures and stuff of our house, and yeah. You know, so like that made sense. It was kind of fun to go through. And there were also some cats in there that I don't remember at all. There was like,
you remember Psycho and Mouser.
We had a lot of cats.
There were a lot of cats. Yeah. Apparently, a lot more than I remember.
They
having.
Came and went.
Yeah, they came and went. But yeah, so some of that stuff was like very obvious. The reason for that was very obvious. But there were some. But for the most part, I was going through your stuff and I was like, I was trying to think back, like, what was our rationale back then for why this, of all the things that could have gone in here, you know, like why there was a, we had a battery in there. There was like a double A battery,
yeah,
or something.
Because we wanted to see if it still worked.
Oh, right.
It had recharge, like the one you press on, right, it, yeah. And you see the amount. It did not.
It did not work. And also, it looks exactly the same as modern batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That batteries technology has not changed.
Not changed.
Well, those batteries. Duracell double A batteries.
I think what I'm most fascinated about was that flipping through the magazines, I feel like you could just put that on anyone's, like any coffee table anywhere, and it would feel just like a normal magazine. Yeah. One of them was talking about climate change. Literally in 2000.
Yeah, there were so many articles about how, this climate change is coming. And it's a big deal and we got to start doing something about it. Otherwise, it's almost too late.
Mm-hmm. And it's mixed in there with like, here's this new futuristic thing that's happening. I'm like, this literally is just exactly the same stuff. And that thing didn't happen, right?
And so it's like – And still hasn't.
It still hasn't. Yeah. And so it literally felt the same, which I found very – comforting
things have, well, things have only gotten worse
because they've stayed the same.
They're kind of
because
they've stayed the same. The style of communicating.
Well, people are the same. Mm-hmm. People are the same, and they're the guiding thing, you know, that sort of shapes everything else. So things have pretty much stayed the same, but also are very different.
Yeah.
All right. Last question comes from Peebnuts 123. I just rewatched Seth's old Pixel Pop talk, Do What You Want, from 2016. I was just wondering.
Was that in 2016?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was the year of Crashlands.
Oh, God.
Peebnuts says, I was just wondering, do you still have a so-called 10% rule, either professionally or personally, where you spend 10% of your time thinking about the other 90%? Interesting to hear how that has developed over time.
I think it's still the same.
So it's pretty much
production
same,
meetings take about two and a half hours every week. And then we have a town hall on Fridays where we just like talk about it for an hour and a half.
We do generally take about 10% of our time to talk about and think about what's been going on with the other 90%
or what needs to go on.
It's not a rule so much as just kind of a thing that happens.
It's shaped out like that.
It's sort of like, I think it's the minimum you can get away with and still have your shit together.
Yeah.
I think.
It's the difference between having your shit together or not, really.
If you 10%. Don't have your shit together,
it doesn't necessarily make your 8%. Shit be really together, but it is the difference between not and having some shit together.
Yeah. So I think we still do it.
I think we still do it. It's a good principle. Mm-hmm. I found that every now and then I try to do journaling and stuff like that, and it never works. I mean, it works for a little while, and well, then I'm done now.
Yeah. It rights the ship, and then you have things to do, so you got to go.
Yeah. So anytime I've tried to enforce a hard personal system – on these things, I only do them for a while until I get my shit together and then I'm done. So it's not something like that personally, I'm like always taking 10% of my own time to think about the other 90% of my own time, but it's something that we definitely do as a group.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Me, before I head off for the weekends after work, once I finish my last piece of work, then I just take like 5 or 10 minutes to figure out what I'm doing for the weekend, which seems weird in the sense that like, maybe you want to leave work or whatever, but –
but it also seems weird to not have any concept of
– yeah, like I don't want to go home and just – because that's the procrastination thing. Now you're just like –
it's also part of you end up – if you don't know – if you can't trust that your systems are keeping track of what comes next.
Yes.
Then your brain has to, and it makes it actually impossible to stop doing work.
Because there's one thing brains are bad at. It's everything.
Yes.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. We'd like to thank
– What a time. What a time to be alive. Well, let me say, go pre-register, purchase or wish list Levelhead on
please.
Anything.
Just anything.
Ideally everything.
All of them.
Wherever it is.
All over the place.
Just get it. Actually, how does it work with like Xbox Game Pass? If you're already in Game Pass, can you still
– I think you'll see it. You'll just see it.
You'll just see it.
It'll probably be –
can you wish list it though or something?
I don't know. Whatever you can do.
Just do something. Just do it real good.
Just slap your keyboard until level head just kind of gets out of it. Mm-hmm. And then somehow you'll get somewhere.
Find it. Get it.
All right. And then this is your reminder. Now that there's a launch date, if you're making levels, you better start fucking making plans. How are you going to get your level to the top of the level head charts on April 30th?
Now, it's going to be a time.
There's going to be a lot of strategies.
Good luck.
Don't start hoarding toilet paper, though. We don't need that. No. You know what I mean?
You might start hoarding EB, though.
Mm-hmm. So hoard some exposure bucks.
Yeah.
Make some fairly easy levels because we're going to have a lot of babies running around. Yep. You got to make baby-proof levels.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's exactly
all right. Well, that's all the time we have. We'd like to thank our producers, Fat Bard and Jen Koster, for putting the podcast together. Thanks to our community moderators who keep our Discord running. To get more involved in the Butterscotch community, go to podcast.bscotch.net where we have links for you to, you know, just do stuff. Also, head over to Google Play or
just all seven of them.
Just go somewhere and give us some stars on the podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.